This is CBSI and the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bradley Bowman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies and Mrs. Tricia English, who is one of the Gold Star family signing a letter to the President of the United States about the participation of Iran in the war in Iraq, leading to the deaths of American citizens and American soldiers in particular. I begin with what happened in December of 2006. Brad, a very good evening to you. In December of 2006, in combat operations in Baghdad, Captain English lost his life. What do we know about that incident? How did he die, and how does this link to Iran? Good evening, Brad.
Good evening, John. Thank you for the opportunity to join this podcast. And I want to start, if I may, by just saying that it's an extraordinary honor to participate in this podcast with Tricia English. I want everything I say here to honor your late husband, Captain Sean English, you and your three children. We are free and we are safe because of the brave service and selfless sacrifice of heroes like Sean. And for all of us, that needs to be more than words. It needs to be actions. And that's essentially what we're talking about here. So I just want to start with that. John, I will defer to Trish on the details of course, of the particular attack that took Sean's life. But just the context that might be helpful for the listeners is that, the Islamic Republic of Iran feared the presence of U.S. forces in Iraq and tried to have those forces evicted via political means. And when it was unable to do so via political processes, it undertook a systematic campaign to build a particularly nefarious weapon called EFPs, or explosively formed penetrators, which was explicitly designed to penetrate U.S. armored vehicles, even tanks, and to kill those inside. So they produced them. They established a network. The Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps Quds Force assembled a network to smuggle these weapons into Iraq, and then even trained terrorist militias in Iraq to employ them against U.S. forces. You don't have to take my word for it. If you look at the official U.S. Army history, a two-volume history written by U.S. Army officers whom I know and have written with and worked with, this is documented in excruciating detail. We know that 603 American service members in Iraq, at least, lost their life because of the actions of Iran and its terrorist proxies. These are facts. They're indisputable. And to a significant and major troubling degree, Tehran has never been held accountable for this.
Tricia, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. The events of the loss of your husband. He served in the Army from 1996 until his death in 2006. He was in combat operations in Iraq. When did you learn of the linkage of his death to Iran? And what did you make of it when you first learned? Because this was not obvious during those combat years and now is uniformly understood by those of us who follow the story. When did you first learn of Iran, Tricia? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks so much for having me. I actually learned about Iran's involvement from Sean himself. He was home on leave 3 weeks before he was killed. And during that time, it was frantic. He was very worried, and he spoke of the operations that he was part of. And every troop on the ground in that area at that time knew where this was coming from. It was an enemy they didn't anticipate and a sophistication that they weren't prepared for. But I learned about Iran's involvement through Sean himself.
And here we are 16 years later. You and your sons have, well, there's a Vimeo that's extremely convincing. You're lacrosse players. Good for you. Fine. That's America today. 16 years later, you're participating in a letter to the President of the United States, reported on NBC News and other distinguished platforms. A letter to asking what, Tricia?
We are asking to be heard. We are asking to be represented. We are asking that the people responsible for doing this be held accountable under sanctions and laws and things that are already in place. And really foremost at this point, given what's happening in Vienna, I'm asking the Biden administration to please not reward these people for murdering our citizens and our American troops.
We come to the present political quandary, and I ask Brad's help on this because the story changes day by day. Brad, my understanding is that part of the negotiation at Vienna is that Iran wants sanctions lifted, all sanctions immediately before, and then there are lots of promises about the suspect nuclear weapons program. However, within these last days, there is a strange report from South Korea that the government of South Korea, President Moon, have paid the dues, the fees that Iran owes to the United Nations, permitting Iran to vote, a nation that is associated with depredations and violence in its neighborhood. Brad, how did that happen, that the fees were paid by South Korea for Iran at the UN?
Thank you, John. You know, it gets detailed quickly, but just for the listeners, I mean, Tricia said it so well. I mean, the letter that she signed and, you know, her signature is there on page four, along with the roughly 1,200 other families. It makes a very specific, clear, and reasonable demand of the president. You know, this letter that was sent on January 13th to the president of the United States says, quote, "We do not believe that any sanctions on Iran should be lifted or suspended, the result in the release of frozen funds until all outstanding judgments and pending claims against Iran and the IRGC have been fully satisfied," period. That's the request of these wounded warriors and these Gold Star families to the President of the United States. As far as I know, there has been no response yet. And so what's going on with South Korea? Well, you know, let me start with this. South Korea is a valuable ally. You know, anyone who follows national security knows they're a valuable ally. Those sanctions, the number one thing that Iran wants in Vienna right now is the lifting of sanctions. The Biden administration has signaled that it's prepared to do that, to lift those sanctions, some of which are terrorism sanctions, but they have not done so yet to the degree that Iran wants. And so what's happening is the Biden administration is giving a green light, licenses, green light, if you will, to South Korea to go ahead and start paying out some of this, these funds that are frozen overseas. Essentially, I think it's reasonable to say this is a preemptive workaround. So this, you know, the concerns that we're raising here about don't lift these sanctions until justice is done and the clear and reasonable requests of people like Tricia are heard and adjudicated. This is not a theoretical concern or, you know, something we're making up. It's already starting to happen. The Biden administration is permitting these workarounds with these licenses to countries like South Korea.
Tricia, you have a very healthy, large family. Good for you. And you also have a large family in the U.S. Army. And I mentioned that my family is an Army family as well. I didn't serve, but my brother and father and mother all served. I know Army families are of one mind often. Have you heard from your husband's colleagues, your family members who have knowledge of the Army about this matter? This is very detailed, as Brad just explained expertly in a quick fashion. Is this a story that is well known, Tricia, or still obscure to Americans?
We believe it's still obscure to Americans. Sean was killed by a terrorist. And by the sophisticated weapons and all of this has been documented. But we don't believe most of America understands that. And we don't believe the connection with Iran that they understand this. And we are asking our officials, to our elected officials, to stand up for our families. We're asking the administration to stand up for our families, but also for our country, because the military does their job every time. And we're asking our citizens and elected officials to do theirs and to not reward this behavior.
And in not rewarding this behavior, I acknowledge that. But we have a threat from Iran that the president is speaking to right now. The threat is the nuclear weapons program. What I understand from this letter, and I've read through it, you don't discount the fact that the nuclear weapon program is a threat. You're not saying that's not important. You're saying there are other matters that Iran must be held responsible for. Is that correct, Tricia?
That's correct. The nuclear issue is an issue, for sure. We're not disputing that at all. But we are saying that the reasons for sanctions and for designations are to prevent or to discourage this kind of behavior, and rewarding it by releasing these sanctions does the exact opposite, despite the financing. Thank does you. The exact opposite.
Brad, we have a few moments here, 30 seconds. Is this story getting out to the major media, and are the politicians in Washington, both parties, responding?
I commend Dan DeLuce at NBC, who does great reporting. He wrote his story, but it is not getting enough attention. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so happy to be part of this. You know, and I just want to quickly say what Trisha is trying to do is not at odds with good national security policy. Right. They're the same thing. Right. Just very quickly, lifting sanctions on Iran doesn't pass the common sense test. It doesn't pass the policy test and doesn't pass the moral test. Iran is the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism, period. You don't lift terrorism sanctions on a country that continues to engage in terrorism. That's the common sense category. The policy category, the only reason they're in Vienna is they want the sanctions lifted. If you lift the sanctions, you lose all leverage and you can increase the chances of having an Iranian nuclear weapon. And lastly, we have a responsibility to honor the wishes of our Gold Star families. They're making a very clear request here, and we better listen.
Trisha English, Gold Star family, Brad Bowman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, an Army veteran. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.